Horror films we're speaking about this morning, they've always tended to be a little bit of a boys' club. Screaming women running from men with chainsaws while their, you know, brave boyfriends fight back and save the day. But a new wave of women-directed horror films, we're talking Raw, The Babadook, A Girl Walks Home at Night, it's shown that there is and always has been a space for women in horror to produce groundbreaking work. I'm joined on the line now by Alexandra Heller-Nicholas, co-editor of film journal Senses of Cinema and author of the upcoming book 1000 Women in Horror, to discuss the achievements of women in horror, both past and present. Alexandra, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
My pleasure, Tess. Happy Women's Day.
Yes, happy International Women's Day to you too. So some of the most impressive new female directors of recent years, Jennifer Kent with The Babadook, Julia DeCorna with Roa, they've been making some pretty impressive horror movies. Is there something, I guess, specific about horror which tends to attract female directors?
Yeah, I think there is. Not just directors, but also fans. And I think that this is something that's gone long under-acknowledged for those kind of cliches that you've mentioned, that it's all about, you know, guys in black T-shirts who are into heavy metal. You know, they're the kind of guys that we think of, or the kind of people that we think of when we think of horror movie fans and perhaps even horror filmmakers. Horror's always been, since its earliest days, even going back to Gothic literature, it's been about the other. It's been about giving a space to talk about the things that are, the other, the things that aren't the kind of straight white male norm. And in these stories, those things can sometimes appear frightening, but they can also be complicated. And we can think of that right back with one of the really key figures in the women in horror movement, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And, of course, the monster in that is Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein is the doctor. You'll get calls of complaints if I get that wrong. But, I mean, even from that early, you know, even in 1818, Shelley was talking about, you know, talking about this kind of empathy that we could have for the monstrous, this kind of, you know, I think that we feel more for Frankenstein's monster than we do for Dr. Frankenstein, who really is the true monster of that story. So I think that there's a very, very long history before even cinema that's really attracted women audiences and you know, other people on the outside.
And you did mention this contribution's gone somewhat, I guess, unnoticed or unrecognised for a really long period of time. Why do you think this is?
It's a good question. I think because it doesn't fit the dominant narrative about horror being exploitation. There was a very important book written in 1992 by a woman called Carol Clover called Men, Women and Chainsaws, Gender in the Modern Horror Film. It's kind of a Bible, I think, for women in horror, you know, for the entire women in horror movement. Now, Clover is actually a professor of Scandinavian mythology. She specialized in old Icelandic languages and Scandinavian literature and culture. But she was a single mum and she had a teenage boy who was really into horror movies, and so she watched a lot when he was growing up. And she was inspired to write this book because she saw in these films that are broadly dismissed a really radical gender politic at play. And what she argued in visual culture, not just cinema, but you know, contemporary art, painting, advertising, video games, music videos, there's an assumption of what's called the male gaze, which was coined by a woman called Laura Mulvey, another academic. And it's the idea that the camera looks with what is assumed to be a male perspective or a masculine perspective. And what Carol Clover argues in Men, Women and Chainsaws is that's actually fluid. It's not just a case of audiences being pushed towards the male gaze, but slasher films in particular flip that around. There's actually a kind of fluid gender identification at work, and she uses things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Carrie and films like this that are often discredited as just being misogynistic or sexist. She says, no, actually, they're doing some really vital cultural work that make us question gender and power.
And it is interesting that you mention a few of those films like Carrie that feature women but are written by men. How do these tie into this theory?
Carrie's a really interesting one, and I guess the question of authorship is also an interesting issue at stake here. You know, we always privilege the director, I think, as being the author of the film. But if we go back to art history and we look at feminist art history, there's a real focus on the collective, that women historically have tended to work in terms of craft in more kind of communal ways. So that cinema and this privileging of the auteur or the single visionary automatically privileges the male artist, you know, the single male artist. I personally think sometimes male directors can just fluke it. Sometimes I think they can consciously make quite feminist films. Sometimes I think they just, you know, nobody makes a film in a vacuum. You kind of soak up the zeitgeist. I think sometimes people might think that they're making a very progressive film but actually make something that's not, and vice versa. And I also think it's important to add that not all films made by women are necessarily quote-unquote feminist films. There's a woman called Roberta Findlay who I'm quite obsessed with, who was a pornographer and a horror filmmaker who's honestly made some of the most offensive movies I've ever seen.
And so, you know, historically as well, horror has had a somewhat questionable relationship with women. You know, you've got the fairly stereotypical monstrous feminine trope that crops up time and time again. Is this a new wave of female horror film? How are they responding to these, I guess, fairly stereotypical and somewhat sexist attitudes?
I think that there's a broad, widespread focus at the moment in the last couple of years, really riding on the back of a movement that came out of the United States, which was the Women in Horror Month, which was February. So people like the Soska sisters from Canada, Maddie Do from Laos, you know, this is a really international movement of women filmmakers. And I think that it's a case, perhaps, that they've always been there. It's just now that we're noticing them and we're looking at them. So I think rather than looking at this as a sudden spike, I think that these women horror filmmakers have actually always been there. We perhaps just haven't noticed them before. So we can go right back to the start of cinema. We have Alice Guy, who was a really pioneering filmmaker. I mean, she started making films in 1896, and cinema wasn't really invented until 1895 with Thomas Edison and the Lumiere. And she made a version in 1905 of Victor Hugo's Hunchback of Notre Dame. She did Poe's Pit and the Pendulum in 1913. Lois Weber was an American film director who did a film called Suspense in 1913, which is a prototype of what we now would identify as a kind of home invasion horror movie. But right through, we have people like Stephanie Rothman, Karen Arthur, the Hollywood actor Ida Lupino, kind of classic Hollywood movie star. She turned to directing in her career, and she made an extraordinary film in 1953 called The Hitchhiker, which again is a really prototypical slasher film. It's a really important film in horror film history in general, not just in the history of women in horror. So I think these films have always been there. It's just we've not before now until this sort of rise of attention on people like Julia de Kernow, Jennifer Kent. I think now we're really in a wonderful position where we're poised to look back at this history and identify and acknowledge these predecessors that we've otherwise ignored.
It's definitely going to be an interesting one to watch as time goes on. Alexandra, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure. It was nice having a chat.